In 1995, a gripping and extraordinarily moving film was made called Dead Man Walking. The screenplay was by the director Tim Robbins, and the film starred Susan Sarandon and Sean Penn. It drew its inspiration from a book of the same title by Sister Helen Prejean, a Roman Catholic nun. Written in 1993, the book recounted something of her remarkable befriending of and ministry to those on death row in the United States. The central character of the film, Matthew Poncelet, is a composite one, combining the real-life personages of two prisoners, both convicted of murder, Elmo Patrick Sonnier and Robert Lee Willie. For dramatic purposes, this composite character works really well in the film. What matters is that we get a real insight into what it's like on death row, into what lies behind violent crime, into the pain and suffering caused both to victim and perpetrator alike, as well as to the rest of society. We often find today that when a book or a film is based on actual historical occurrences, the names of people or the details of the stories are changed, largely to protect the identities of those involved. As a result, it's often possible to lose sight of what's historical and what's fictional. This isn't a new problem. It's been around for a long time. Stories and characters get changed over the course of time, such that it becomes almost impossible to determine what's real and what's made up. This is due partly because memories fade, and also because of the embroidering for dramatic effect in the way the stories are told repeatedly. I'm sure you know what I mean. It's like the guy who lands a big fish. Using hands to give an indication of the size, he says, "Oh, it was this big." The next time the story is told, the distance between the hands is even greater. "Oh, it was this big." There's a not dissimilar difficulty in connection with Mark the Evangelist, whose feast the Church celebrates today. There are several Marks in the New Testament. First, there's mention of Mark in the letter to the Colossians, for example, the letter to Philemon and the second letter to Timothy. Second, mention's made of Mark in the first letter of Peter, where the said Mark is referred to as the author's son. Then there's a John Mark in the Acts of the Apostles. And finally, there's a Mark who's said to have written the Gospel that bears his name. For all sorts of reasons, scholars resist the idea that these references are all to the same person, so we seem to end up either with a composite of all of them, or uncertainty as to which is the real one. At one level this might seem troubling, but I want to suggest an alternative perspective. For a long time there's been a tradition that there's an oblique reference to Mark himself in the Gospel which bears his name. It occurs just after Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it reads as follows. A certain young man was following Jesus, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. Now, even if the Gospel were written by just one person alone, we don't know anything about that person, and if this verse were considered to be an oblique reference, it tells us almost nothing, except that he followed Jesus. To all intents and purposes, he's anonymous. Perhaps this naked figure stands for all of us. It's not just that others don't know who we really are. We don't even really know who we are ourselves. The only thing that matters ultimately is that God does. The follower's nakedness, which results from his loincloth being caught as he ran away, acts as a symbol for who we all are in the end, utterly naked before and transparent to God. To arrive at this state, though, is no small or easy thing. We tell all sorts of stories about ourselves to cover up the truth of who we are, and some of them we even come to believe. The journey into the fullness of God and into the truth of who we really are actually involves our being continually stripped of all sorts of accretions, beliefs and stories about ourselves, and being willing to be laid bare. For the time being, as we read in the letter to the Colossians, our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we also will be revealed with him in glory. And that's all that matters.